Sunday morning. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for another day that you've made, and we do ask your blessing on this time, your guidance. Lord, please be our teacher and guide once again as we look into your word, consider its authority, how we received your word, and its importance and its value and its authority. So we pray that your spirit would help us, Lord, to focus and to learn what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've covered several things through the course of this particular lesson, looking at the authority of Scripture, the nature of Scripture. The last thing we looked at last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 4 and we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Both of those deal with different aspects of the authority of the Word of God. We ended on this question up here, is does authority also imply responsibility? Now, I'm not sure if we really completely answered that particular question or not. But if something has authority, it does indeed also have a responsibility. God has spoken through His Word, and His Word is living, it's active, it's quick and powerful. So do we as a people, do we need to obey His Word? Now, again, we're conditioned to say yes, of course. We're conditioned to say yes, if God says it, we need to do it. But let's step back away from the conditioning just a little bit. I mean, we know that as God's people, we are to obey God's Word. Now, let's look at it practically. Okay, as God's people, do we obey God's Word? We know we're supposed to, but do we obey God's Word? Sometimes we don't. Yeah. Yes. Because we still have the sin nature that's battling our spiritual nature now, we're never going to get it completely right in this life. And remember that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law for us. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness now. So even though we will never hit 100% because Christ has taken our sin and given us His righteousness, in a positional sense, through Christ, we hit it 100% of the time. But in a practical day-to-day living, we don't. We should. We're to aspire to that. We're to work towards that. But we don't. Mike, did you?
I think there's a danger in having a few verses here and there that we, in our flesh, try to obey without staying in His Word. I think that personally, I think that the ability, depraved nature, our fallen nature, to God commanded the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness to take in the manna every day, as much as they needed to sustain themselves every day.
If we obey God in the flesh, we've disobeyed God.
Right.
Okay. if we, you know, do what Scripture says to do, but we do it in the flesh, we've not obeyed. We're just as guilty as if we have disobeyed. We don't get to pick and choose. We do pick and choose, but we're not supposed to. You know, well, okay, I've got this love my wife thing down pretty good, you know, but I'm just not going to be very hospitable to anybody else. You know, see, we don't get to do that. Sarah Rose. It is always an issue of faith, of trust, of belief. But we do carry responsibility. And again, we walk in the spirit, the lust of the flesh, the fleshly desires, you know, won't be fulfilled, but there can even be a fleshly desire to obey God's word because of the benefits from other people in obeying God's word.
Pastor, when yes. The rich young ruler came, received the authority of the Bible, when he said, I've obeyed all of these commandments since my youth, and Jesus came back and said, if you disobey one, if you break one, you've broken all.
Right.
So you see right there that Jesus was referring to the word as the final authority of sin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And really, did he obey all those commandments, that rich young ruler?
He said he did.
But it's evidenced by his reaction when Jesus says, go and sell everything you have, you know, and then give and then follow me. It's obvious that he didn't.
Then. That just shows our nature right there. We try really hard in our own flesh, but if we do it,
Right.
We've made ourselves our own salvation.
Which is an impossibility.
Yeah.
Which is a non-salvation,
right.
Then. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a work of the flesh.
Yeah. And you know, the work of the flesh does not justify us before God. Ever. So even, you know, if there's ever a time that you think, all right, you know, yeah, I've been kind of misbehaving, so, you know, Christmas is coming up. I need that bonus from work. So, you know, Lord, I'm going to try to get really close to you so maybe I can earn some points. So maybe you'll, you know, kind of give me a little extra blessing here. See, that's not grace, all right? That's trying to earn grace. You know? So any time we think we need to do something to earn God's favor, even if it's obeying Scripture, we've moved away from faith. We're back into the flesh again. Did I see a hand back here? No. Okay. All right. Let's look at the next one here. From your knowledge of Scripture, just what you know, and some of us may know a little more than others because some of us have been saved a little longer. What are some of the things that God commands us to do? What are some of his commands?
Do not worry.
How's that working out for you?
Struggle.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing and then love your neighbor. Okay. What else?
Put God first.
Okay. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah. Okay. Be subject to those that have the rule over you. Yeah. What else?
Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Okay, yeah. Pay your taxes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What else?
Hiding his word in our heart.
Okay. The word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee.
Praying without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Constant attitude of prayer. Constant attitude of communication with God. What else?
Grumbling.
Not grumbling and complaining. We're actually covering that today in the sermon. That'll be fun. Give thanks in everything, right? What else?
Something about meditating about God's word day and night.
Yeah. Trying to picture where it was. Right-hand page, the left-hand column up at the top. Yeah.
I think it's right-hand page.
Yeah. Not forsaken the fellowship of believers.
Yeah, okay. That's what, Hebrews 10. Yeah, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Okay. Yeah, we've heard that one. A couple more.
Love others.
Avenge not yourself. Okay. 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 Tyler? I shall not murder. I shall not kill. Yeah. Okay. Now these are good, and there are many more, of course. How are you doing with those?
The big one is keeping your heart and your mind pure.
Yeah.
You know, not looking after lustful things.
But then how are we doing with these commandments? With the ones we know off the top of our head that God commands us to do, knowing that God expects obedience from His Word, we say we believe that we need to obey God's Word. But do we? Yeah. It's like, all right, yeah, I haven't killed anybody today. Except, of course, Jesus says that if you hate somebody, you've murdered him in your heart. So, now I'm stuck. Because there's some people I really don't like. So, where's that line there? Yeah. We haven't actually killed anybody, so we think we're doing okay. But do we really obey what God says? See, again, I harp on it and harp on it. You guys, when I'm in the grave, you're going to put this on my tombstone, that there's a difference between knowing and believing. The way you tell if you believe something is that it has affected your behavior. So if you believe that you need to obey all the commands of God, you will be obeying all the commands of God. If you're only obeying the ones you like, then you believe that you can pick and choose which ones you get to obey. I mean, that's not recognizing the authority of Scripture. Picking and choosing the commands you will obey is really, it's making you an authority over Scripture. You get to decide what you're going to do. And God's already made those decisions for us. Look back in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, once again. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Right? It is living and active. That word quick is an old English word for living. If you've ever had a hangnail and you have to pull it out of the what?
Quick.
Out of the quick, out of the living part. And you can tell it's the living part because it hurts like the dickens, right? All right, it's quick and powerful. It's alive and it's active. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So it cuts going in, it cuts coming out, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit. We talked about that. It doesn't separate soul and spirit. It divides the soul and then it divides the spirit. And other joints in the marrow, that's an illustration of just how deep it goes. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So even when you don't know what your motives are, the Word of God will expose that for you. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So just from these two verses, and we've looked at others through this lesson, it's not a static book. It's not just black and white or black, white, and red letters on a page. Okay, it's alive, it's living because the Holy Spirit works in and through His Word. It's different than any other writing ever that's ever going to be. The Spirit of God works through the Word of God. And He inspired it. And one of the reasons He did that so that He could work through it to accomplish everything in you that He wants to accomplish. Okay? He wants to accomplish some things, and He's going to use His Word to do it. The ultimate goal for you as a believer is to be like Jesus. It's Christ-likeness in as many aspects as possible in this life. Now, you will be like Him when you see Him face to face, but He wants you to make progress now, and He's going to use His Word to do it. I want you to look in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, let's find verse 9. Okay, Isaiah 55, let's, excuse me, 9 down through 11. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, God says, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." God's word does not return to Him empty or void like human words do. But His words always fulfill whatever He intends. Can I switch over? There we go. Right. Do you recall from the Hebrews passage we just looked at some of the following ways the Spirit uses His word to accomplish His purpose? All right. The first one is that His word penetrates to the core of our being. All right. It divides our soul and it divides our spirit. It lays us open. And the illustration I just can't get out of my head is like when you're filleting a salmon, boy, you lay that puppy wide open. That's what the Word of God does to us. And if we read God's word, the Spirit of God works in us so that He will expose to us all of our motives, all of our intentions. And He will show us where our motives and our intentions do not line up with His. And we may think we have stellar motives until we, you know, view them in light of what God says. And then we'll find we're a bit off in that. The next thing it does, His word judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. Remember that verse 13 of Hebrews 4 says that everything is naked before Him. Okay? Nothing is hid from God. Nothing is hid from God. Now, the illustration we've used from time to time was if we were to plug your brain into the TV, And we could see your thoughts at this moment, you would run out of here screaming in horror at the things that people would find out about you. But God's Word knows that already. His Spirit knows that already. Right? There is nothing you can hide from God. You may hide it from your family. You may hide it from your friends. You may hide it from your coworkers. It's not going to be hid from God. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit uncovers and lays bare our lives before Him. We open the Word of God. We begin to read the Word of God. We're essentially on the operating table, just cut wide open. Nothing's going to be hid. He'll uncover things that you never knew was there. He'll expose things about you to you that will make you extremely uncomfortable, but things that need to be known, things that you need to know about yourself. You can't obey if you don't know what the commandment is. And if there's an area of your life where you are not like Christ, then the Word of God, the Spirit of God through the Word of God, will expose that to you. And then comes the expectation of obedience. All right, Lord, I didn't realize that this particular area was a problem. Now that I know, Lord, I'm responsible to you, before you, to work with you to remove this from my life. That's our responsibility. All right, the next thing. To Him we must give account of all the things that we have done and all the things that we have thought based on what He has revealed in and through His Word. We're accountable for every single word from Genesis to Revelation. Right, this is the standard God is going to use. And even as believers, we give account, not necessarily for our sin, because that's taken care of in Christ, but because God loves His children, He doesn't let His children get away with things. He corrects them, disciplines them, spanks them, because He loves them. So if He loves you, He is going to spank you when you misbehave. He's going to... So the word discipline actually means to train. It's if we brought the word over in English, the Greek word is mathetes. It's where you get math or arithmetic from. You remember the way that you learned your multiplication tables, right? You practiced them over and over and over and over and over again, right? That's how you become a disciple, but that's also how you're disciplined. You're trained. So now if I ask you what 7 times 9 is,
63.
There you go. You've done it. You've done it. You've done it. 4 times 5 is?
21.
All right. No, he said 21. So, all right, somebody needs some practice in their multiplication tables. Yeah. All right, you've been trained through this, okay? That's what God's discipline does, is it trains you to obey. It trains you to say an active no to sin and a yes to Jesus. Now, these are important truths because Scripture isn't meant to be read just for the sake of knowing what Scripture says. I mean, you need to know what Scripture says, but there's more to it. The Bible's to be read so that we can become more like Jesus. The Bible is to be read, learned, memorized, meditated on, so that the Spirit of God can use that word to shave away everything that doesn't look like Christ in our life. Well, it's much like raising children, young believers. At first they're not going to understand all the benefits. Okay, it's something that they have to grow into. But the Spirit of God will work with them and will grow in them and will give them a love for the thing that He wants them to love.
Yeah, the Lord comes in the obedience.
Yeah.
And the obedience is doing what God said about you, His Word. And His Word will bring forth fruit in your life. It's not going to be anything that you can do, it's doing what He does.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like we saw last week out of Philippians 2, God works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So He works it in us, and then we live it out. We work it out. It's part of our growth. It has to take place. If we're a believer, it will take place.
We can't really grow much outside His Word.
Oh, I don't think we can grow at all. I don't think a Christian can grow without the Word of God at all.
That's what I want to say.
Yeah, there has to be an intake of the Word of God in order for the believer to grow. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. He could use other things, of course, because He's God, but He says He'll use His Word. So if the Word is not being input, the Spirit isn't going to work.
Well,
doesn't mean He can't, but He said He wouldn't.
Proverbs 23, verse 12, it says, reply to your heart instruction and to your ears knowledge.
Yeah. So it takes a little bit of work.
Yeah.
An action. Yeah. We do carry some responsibility. Now there's the, you know, okay, where does the free will of man, which I hate that term because man's will is not free, but let's just say the will of man and the sovereignty of God. Okay, where does one end and one begin? I think that's the wrong way to look at it. It's not that they're opposed to each other. Okay, it's that one supersedes the other. All right. God will work in our will as believers to accomplish obedience to His commands. We carry the responsibility if we do not obey, but His sovereignty will work through our will. He will make us willing, like we said last week, He'll give us the desire to obey Him. Right, right. Yeah.
You have a choice.
Yes.
Your choice is whether you want to obey or whether you don't want to obey, but you're not free to choose what the consequences are, whether you are a child or an adult.
So let's apply that then to God's Word and whether we obey or disobey God's commands. I mean, God does give us a choice. We can obey Him or we can disobey Him. But then what about the consequences? Those things that you know, when we were doing that Reformers Unanimous thing down in Metlakatla, one of the things I remember is that consequences are, let's see, we did it every week and I can't remember what they are. Consequences are inevitable. They're unpredictable, and they're up to God. Okay? You don't get to choose the consequences of your actions. You can choose your actions. You can obey God or you can disobey God, but you don't get to pick what happens next. You don't get to pick what God does in response to your disobedience. So it would be better to obey God's Word. All right? It would be better to soak yourself in the Word of God, and then there's not going to be the negative consequences you have to deal with. Back in Deuteronomy 18, we saw this. It declares that God's Word was given to his prophets, and they were authoritative, they were binding because they came from God. Whatever the prophet spoke originated from God, so it was as if God himself was speaking through the prophets. The people were to treat those words as if they came out of the very mouth of God himself. God said that he would punish every person who didn't obey the words that were spoken by those prophets. Now, if the message wasn't meant for you, then you had a different set of punishment criteria. You know, those words were written to Israel, God's people, and God's prophet spoke to God's people the message that, you know, you're disobeying and it's going to hurt, but I've got to do it if you straighten up. But they wouldn't straighten up. Now, the pagans that lived around Israel, they weren't subject to these commands. Now, they had different criteria, of course. They were still subject to the law of God. They were still going to be judged for their sin. But if somebody isn't saved, they don't know Christ as their Savior, then there's not a whole lot of the Word of God that applies to them. There's not a lot of the commands that they're expected to obey. There are some universal principles in Scripture that if they follow, you know, certain consequences will take place. But if they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, the first command that they must obey is repent and believe on the name of the Son of God to be saved. See, the living and active Word, it's authoritative, right? For the King of glory, who is Jesus Christ, for his glory, for his coming kingdom on earth, the word must be obeyed. It has to be given full control over our lives. And we hate that. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. And we don't want anybody laying out a set of do's and don'ts for us. I mean, we want to do that ourselves. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. To the degree that we keep his commandments, that shows our degree or amount of love for him. So let's let that be kind of a barometer. Okay. Now, part of it's easy. If we're not keeping his commandments, it's very simple. We don't love Jesus Christ. We cannot love him and not obey him. He doesn't give us that latitude. He says, if you love me, demonstrate the love by keeping my commandments. So if we're only keeping some of the commandments, then we really don't love him as we should. We love him a little bit. But how do you love somebody a little bit? I mean, how do you tell your kids, your wife, your husband, yeah, I love you a little bit. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'll be on the couch for you tonight, buddy. Yeah. No, so if we only partially obey him, we're not loving him. Love really is an all or nothing kind of thing. Either you love him or you don't, which means either you're keeping his commandments or you're not. Scripture doesn't give us much other option. So we're winding up. This is the last little bit on the nature of Scripture, the authority of Scripture. And we're going to move on to how we got the Scripture, not today. So let me just let that thought kind of soak into your brain a little bit. If you love Jesus, your Savior, you will do what he tells you to do. Period. Are you doing what he's told you to do?
demonstrating your love. If you're not, then don't pretend to love him, because he knows you don't, and what we think doesn't matter. If you want to love him, then get into his word and obey his commandments. Questions? Comments? Concerns?
It shows you how fickle we are, and by your love we can't give to him unless it's for him. That's why we're going to cast our crowns at his feet.
We don't have the capacity to do anything that pleases him that doesn't first come from him in the first place. Even our faith, even the ability to believe, is a gift from him.
I see the sin nature when Peter denied Christ. That might be us right there, where we're trying, you know, and if we do it anyway, we deny him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, we go back to what we said at the beginning, that even in our failings, there is grace, there is mercy, and there is the righteousness of Christ that we have as we stand before God in Christ. But on the practical side, he expects some effort from us, that he gives us the capacity, the ability, the energy to do. Probably enough for your brains to chew on for this moment. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together as we looked into your word, its authority, its ability to examine us. And I pray, Father, that your spirit would examine us. I pray that your spirit would lay bare to us the areas of our life that we're holding on to, that we're not giving over to you. I pray, Lord, that you would work in us so that we can honestly say that with as much ability as you give us, we love you. And that can be verified, Father, by you to us. Because we're obeying you. We're doing, Father, the very thing that you command us. So, Lord, just help us to be people that love you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy when we fall short. It's going to be often. Father, help us to grow so that the closer we get to our Savior, the less and less we sin, and the more we're willing to demonstrate our love. I pray in Jesus' name.